Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make it fun. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the Gospel of John, where we've been following the travels of Jesus out of Jude into the land of Galilee, where he proceeded to heal the nobleman's son. So let's follow along now as we pick up in today's lesson in John chapter 4, verse 43, as we discover the importance of hearing and believing and taking God at his word, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
And it says, now after 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee. Now remember, Jesus had spent some extended time in Samaria. That's where we're picking up in the story. So he's leaving Samaria now and continuing to make his way back to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. And, you know, that's something that we've all experienced to some degree as well. The hardest people sometimes to minister to are your own people, your family, maybe your parents, or maybe your children, or your brothers or sisters. You know, there's something there. It's just a difficult thing. And so because of that understanding, Jesus did not go back to Nazareth, but he went into Galilee. And the Galileans, it says, they received him, having seen all the things which he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they had also gone to the feast. And so Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and to heal his son, for he was at the point of death. He hears that Jesus is now back from Judea. He's heard the stories about the power of Jesus, and so he needs to get to him to implore him on behalf of his son. And Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Now, this is a bit of a rebuke. And there were those times when the Lord rebuked the people for their longing for a sign and their refusal to, you know, simply take him at his word. But the nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. So the man is begging Jesus to come with him. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your son lives. So Jesus doesn't grant his request exactly. He's still requiring from this man an element of faith. He's going to force him to have to take him at his word, and that's exactly what he does. It says, so the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better, and they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives," and he himself believed with his whole household. So the man takes Jesus at his word. And when he comes home, he finds it's just exactly as he had said, and at the very hour that Jesus had said that. And this is the thing that stood out to me as I was looking over the text today. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him. You know, all the difference in the world is made on this issue of whether you believe what God has said or you don't believe what God has said. And that is true across the spectrum. If you look at the Bible and you say, "Well, I just can't believe that," you are going to suffer greatly as a result of that. Your life is going to be a poverty-stricken life spiritually. And then, of course, the ultimate outcome is going to be tragic. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. I can't ever hope to even get to heaven apart from putting my trust in what God has said. But God's word is trustworthy. God has spoken and he has fulfilled what he said. And we've got history and we've got millions of lives and we've got all kinds of things to let us know that this is indeed God's word. So, if you're a person who's not believing this word, your unbelief is not based on reality or facts. It's just something that you're holding on to against the facts. This man took Jesus at his word. And I'm certain that when he left Jesus, he left with confidence. He didn't leave going, "Oh, why didn't he come to my house? Oh, but what if I get there? And, oh," you know, I don't think he left that way. I think he left with just that sense that his word is good. He will keep his word. If you start to be filled with doubt, if you come to a place, "Well, you know, I don't know, maybe that really wasn't, you know, God's word to me." And you start to doubt it and move away from it, then again, you put yourself in a tumultuous situation. Now, in those cases, of course, I believe that when it comes to the area of personal promises and things, God is going to keep his promise. Even if I have lapses of faith, God is still going to keep his promise. But what's going to happen is the peace and the confidence and the joy and the rest that I could have in the process of him fulfilling his promise, I miss out on it. I get ripped off, basically, because I don't believe. And I know for myself that much of the turmoil that I go through, much of the frustration I go through, much of the times of not having peace and things like that, if I connect the dots again, if I go back, I find out that, you know, it's really because I'm not believing God. I'm not trusting God. And, you know, when you're not trusting God, then you try to do things yourself. And you know what you will inevitably do? You will make a mess of things. You'll create problems for yourself. But when you go to that place and you're just saying, "Lord, this is your word. This is what you've told me. And I'm just going to rest in it. I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to wait for you to bring it to pass." I don't know if you realize it or not, but that is the one thing in all of the world that God delights in more than anything else. Abraham was God's friend because he believed God. He trusted the Lord. He took God at his word. And so as God has spoken to you personally, and you know those things that he's said to you, you know those promises that he's made to you, you know those things that he's put in your heart that he is going to do for you and with you, maybe, or through you, or whatever the promise is and however it applies in your situation, even though It might be that you're in a season where it doesn't seem like any of that could ever really happen. And you might even be at a point where you're wondering, did God really say that to me? You know, was that really the Lord? Or did I just imagine all of that? Did I just make that up? And I think this is something that we go through as believers at times. Because God gives us promises and we take confidence in those promises. And then the Lord does this strange thing. Then he just sort of lets everything go in the complete opposite direction of the way you would think it would go based on what he told you. And not only does he let everything go in the complete opposite direction, he sort of seems to just back away from everything as well. And so there you are. You're in the middle of confusion. And you look up and everything's black. And you're saying, Lord, wait, what happened? I thought you said this, and I thought you told me that that was happening. And I thought we were going here, Lord, but it just seems like everything's going backwards. It seems like we're going in the complete opposite direction. You know, this is a reality. This happens in the lives of God's people. Think about the children of Israel. God sees their plight. He sees the abuse of the Egyptians, and he says, okay, I'm going to come and deliver them. So he appears to Moses and he says, I've heard the cry of my people and I'm going to send you to Egypt. And I won't go into all the details of that story. But Moses, he comes to Egypt and he goes before Pharaoh and he says, thus says the Lord, let my people go. Pharaoh says, who is the Lord? I don't know him. And so Moses says, well, I'll show you. And so he demonstrates some of God's power. And then Pharaoh has his magicians demonstrate some of their power. Maybe you remember, Moses has a rod in his hand. He casts it down. It turns into a serpent. The magicians have rods in their hand. They cast them down. They turn into serpents. Moses' serpent swallowed up theirs. And he takes his rod back, and he walks out from Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, what is he trying to do? He's trying to take away our workforce. And he commands his leaders, make the children of Israel work harder than they've ever worked before. Take away the straw that you normally provide for them and make them go collect the straw themselves. So Moses had come and he said, God's going to deliver you and he sent me and I'm the deliverer and I'm going to go to Pharaoh and I'm going to tell him and you guys are going to be free real quick. And he goes through that whole process and what happens? Instead of things getting better, things are now worse than they've ever been before. And the people come back to Moses and they say, what are you doing to us? What do you mean delivering us? You've brought a greater burden on us than we had previously. And they were angry with Moses and they were just, you know, just leave. Don't bother us. We were better off before you came. And Moses, understandably, goes back to God and says, Lord, what are you doing? You told me that you were going to deliver them, and I went to Pharaoh, and now things are 10 times worse than they were before I ever went in. And of course, the Lord says, well, you'll see. And God begins his process of judgment. But that which happened to Israel, you know, it happens in our lives individually at times as well. When God gives the promises, and then he just seems to back off, and he lets everything go haywire. Why does he do that? Well, it's called a test. It's a test of faith. God wants us to take him at his word. He wants us to believe his word, and he will let everything go in every which direction and let it look like it's never going to happen. It's an impossibility. He'll let all of that happen, and then he will just, you know, more or less watch us. What are you going to do? And it's at those times that what's happening to us, our faith is being tried. That's what is going on. Our faith is being tried. Do you believe me? God would say. Do you think I'm faithful? Didn't I promise you? Oh, but Lord, give me just one more sign. And sometimes the Lord will do that. And sometimes he won't do that at all. And I've been at places in my life where I've been saying, Lord, but, you know, just, you're not saying anything to me. Come. And the Lord says, I've already said it. Yeah, I know, but could you just say it again? Because I forgot. And you know what? The Lord says, no, I won't say it again. Believe what I said. Stand on it. That's what God is wanting to develop in us. He's wanting to develop character. He wants us to be men and women of faith. He wants us to trust him. And we can trust him. And this man, he did the thing that every one of us need to do. He took Jesus at his word. That's what he had. He had his word. Remember Thomas, after Jesus had died and he had appeared to several of the apostles, but Thomas wasn't there. And so they all got together and they said, oh, Thomas, the Lord, he's alive. He's back. He's risen from the dead. We saw him. We spent time with him. We ate with him. Thomas says, I won't believe it unless I see it. You're not going to convince me. No way. And so a week later, they're all gathered together again, and Jesus appears in their midst. And the first thing he says is, Thomas, come and touch my hands and the wounds in them and my feet. And as you said, Thomas, here, put your hand into the wound on my side and no longer be unbelieving, but believe. And Thomas says, my Lord, my God. And he falls down and he worships Jesus. And Jesus said this, you believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You see, God puts the highest priority and the greatest delight upon those who have not seen but have believed. Those who have heard. You know, there's an interesting contrast all the way through the scriptures, the contrast between seeing and hearing. And what does it say? It says things like this. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Isn't it true that we often think, no, faith comes by seeing. Let me see something. And we fall into the trap of thinking today that, man, if we could just see some miracles, people would believe. But we ought to know better than that, because we've got a lot of history recorded for us in the Bible of people who saw things that are just, you know, the parting of the Red Sea, that's a pretty serious miracle. And the very people that saw sometimes the greatest miracles, they didn't believe. And those masses of people that saw the miracles that Jesus did, in the end, where were all of those people? They weren't following him. And the Bible makes that contrast between seeing and hearing, and the blessing is upon those who hear. And that's where the faith comes. Hearing the word of God, receiving the word of God. And so I want to just end by encouraging you to believe what God has told you, to trust his word to you. And even though it might seem right now that, man, it just seems impossible that it could ever be fulfilled. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, maybe I didn't hear God. But you did hear God. We do hear God. That's one of the wonderful things about being God's children. He speaks to us and he tells us things. It's certainly within the realm of possibility that we could get things wrong. But it's also highly probable that we got it right. But because it's not happening the way we thought, then we start thinking, oh, but maybe I got it wrong. No, you didn't necessarily get it wrong. But God has a time. And he has a plan that he's working out. And the thing he wants us to do is he wants us to trust him through it. He wants us to stand on those promises. I don't know if you remember the story. Pastor Chuck's told it many, many times about his own experience where they were down to just a few pennies and nothing to eat in the house. And just, you know, he was at a low point and just feeling like throw in the towel. I can't do the ministry anymore. I can't provide for my family. I'm going to go get a different job and go into a new career. And all of this stuff was going on. And, you know, right at that point of just feeling like he was going to give it all up and basically just got in a little bit of debt through some circumstance that was sort of beyond his control, but there wasn't any mercy really from the debtors. And just feeling like, well, I guess I'll have to go do something else. I guess the ministry is not for me. And then right at that critical moment, the phone rang, picked it up, and it was a friend who said, you know, just thinking about you, praying for you, and just wanted you to know we put a check in the mail for you today. And it's for X amount of dollars, and it was to cover exactly what the debt was, and then to give a little extra money for dinner. And, you know, he just tells the story that he hung up the phone. He's just jumping around, okay, you know, hugging her, and, oh, the Lord is so good, you know, and all of this. And then he said the Lord spoke to him and said, what are you so happy about? Oh, well, Lord, you know, they called and they said, and the Lord said, well, how do you know it's really going to come through? You know, how do you know they're really telling you the truth? Oh, Lord, but these are my friends. These are my, Lord, they wouldn't call me up and lie to me about it. Of course it's going to come through. They've given their word. And then Chuck tells the story. And the Lord said, well, I gave you my word too. I didn't see you jumping around. I didn't see you twirling Kay around the kitchen when you had my word. And isn't it so true? It's true. We so often do that. We put more stock in what a person says to us than what God has said to us. But the reality is, God is our Father. He loves us. He speaks to us. He has specific plans for our life. He has details. And he will tell us things. He will give us promises. He will speak to us about the future. And he wants us to believe him. He wants us to trust him. He didn't just do that with people in the Bible. And that's a mistake that we often make. We read the Bible and we think, wow, this is amazing. These people, Abraham and Jacob and all these people, and they had this. And you know what? It's supposed to be the same today. It is the same. We just need to grasp that. We need to understand that. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's wanting to demonstrate his power in our lives. And he's wanting to do a good work in us and through us. And he gives us promises. And he wants us, just like Abraham, he wants us to believe him. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to wait upon him. And he wants us to expect that what he promised, he's going to deliver it. And he's faithful. He will do it. This man took Jesus at his word, and it was just exactly as Jesus had said. His son recovered that very hour. And this again, verse 54, is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful. And Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, that you are not a man that you should lie, or a son of man that you should change your mind. And what you have said, you will perform. That's your word to us. And we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray tonight for every person here, Lord, and just across the board, to believing your word, whether it be your word in the general sense or whether it be your word as it's written out and applicable to our lives and our behavior, or whether it be that word that you've spoken to our hearts personally. Lord, may we be like this nobleman. May we be men and women who take you at your word, who believe your word. And Lord, we know that your prescription for relief from anxiety is to trust you and to let our request be made known to you and to just be confident that what you have said you will accomplish. So strengthen us in our hearts. And Lord, may we be in our generation like Abraham, like Jacob, like David, like the apostles, and these that put their faith and their trust in you. Work that in us by your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just like this nobleman who took Jesus at his word, we too are to take him at his word. Jesus is always faithful and wants us to trust him, wait upon him, and expect him to deliver that which he has promised. We'll continue with more from our study from the Gospel of John in our next lesson, but right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message or would like to order a copy for a friend or a loved one, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Hearing and Believing. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT3230. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.